treated. Welcome to Facts Are Meaningless. My name is Eric. I am your host. My co-host is Joe.
Yes, and I am not a robot.
I've decided that I want to start with a funny voice every week. Though that was very similar to my voice last week. Maybe I should do something more high-pitched and nasally. I'll save it for next week. We'll surprise the peoples.
Do a different voice every week.
I'm going to be the Mel Blanc of this podcast.
Oh, you know what you should do? You should do like a Hawking-esque synthesized voice.
Would you like to play a game?
I was thinking more. Well, I guess that works.
I don't know.
Actually, we should do this entire podcast just using synthesized voices.
I like that idea.
Everyone would enjoy that.
Should get those little.
That wouldn't get grading at all.
Yeah, not at all. Get those little voice changer things that they had in the Scream movies. Was that a real technology or was that just bullshit? I don't know.
Voice changer thing?
Yeah, like the guy wore something around his neck so that whenever he talked, he sounded like completely different.
Oh, I don't know. They probably have something like that. Actually, that my nephews a couple of years ago, they had some kind of like – it was like a Star Wars megaphone, and it converted your voice to sound like Darth Vader, and it actually worked pretty well. And it was like a $30 thing at Toys R Us.
Yeah, but wasn't that a full Darth Vader helmet?
Oh, maybe it was, yeah. Now that I think about it.
I think with a helmet on, I would sound substantially different. I'll just buy a fishbowl and put that over my head for the podcast. That would sound probably just as good as my regular voice. So, Joe, I tested my broadband connection speed the other day, and I got a whopping 19 megabits per second downstream. I'll never have better. Never.
That's pretty good, actually. That's for a cable modem. That's
pretty
quite good.
Yeah. So why do you think we need faster? Isn't that good?
No, I don't think we need faster.
Oh, you don't?
No. I want to be the skeptic on this. I was just reading an article that was talking about how most of the cable companies are building out their infrastructure to support DOCSIS 3, which is going to be, you know, 50 megabit and in some cases 100 megabit. And, you know, commensurately the prices are going to go up and, you know, like the top tier is like $100. And I'm thinking – you know, whereas there was a time, you know, one point maybe, let's say, 10 years ago or more, where I would have been like, I want the fastest broadband connection I could get at any cost.
Yeah.
Now, I'm thinking to myself, does anybody really need that?
You are Bill Gates in the 80s saying people will never need more than whatever number.
Well, let me clarify. Does anybody need that enough to go from paying anywhere from $15 to $45 a month to paying $100 a month or more?
No. What we should have is double the speed now at exactly the same price. That is how computing has always worked. It's how it should continue to work for broadband. It's how it works for broadband in countries like Korea and Japan, where 100 megabits per second is like the slow speed in Japan.
Right.
But we continue to pay $50 a month for 20 megabits per second, and that's pretty damn good. I mean, that's not it's not fiber optic speed, but I'm not complaining.
Well, you're getting 20 megabits, but that's actually probably better than average. I mean, I get 12 megabits per second. I pay $45, and if I wanted 100, I'd pay 50. So basically it would be – what would that be? Twice – more than twice the price and more than four times the speed.
You said you pay $45 now.
Right.
For about 12 megabits per second.
Right.
And if you wanted 100 megabits per second?
No, 50.
If you wanted 50 megabits per second, how much would it cost you?
It would be 100.
Okay, so I got the number screwed up. All right.
Yeah, Comcast hasn't rolled it out here yet, but supposedly it's like just a matter of time. So that's basically four times the speed
for
twice as much money, roughly, which, you know, is good when you look at it just in terms of ratios, but it's still double the amount of money. And I think it's a hard case to make even when the economy isn't in the crapper. So seems to me that they should be able to give you a small increment and maybe like, you know, 50% more speed for 20% more cost or something like that, and that would be something that people could rationalize more than, you know.
Yeah, more tiers of service would be good from all these ISPs, I think, but, you know.
Right. Because, I download games and movies, and I'm a heavy user. I mean, not as heavy a user as can be. Probably not as heavy a user as you.
Probably not.
With BitTorrent, but...
What? I don't do anything illegal. Shut your face.
Oh, sorry.
If the FBI is listening to this podcast...
Did I say BitTorrent? I meant TitTorrent.
That's the perfectly legal pornography version of BitTorrent.
So anyway, but the point is, I expect to get something any day now from Comcast inviting me to pay more and get blazingly fast speeds, and I'm just going to be like, thanks, but nah.
You know, if you were with any company but Comcast, I'd say go for it. But Comcast is such a bunch of douchery bags these days that I wouldn't trust them.
Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, Comcast has got its reputation, but then you got Time Warner, which, you know, they were pulling that fast one with they had the most draconian metering going on, remember last summer?
That's true, yeah, but luckily that seems to have died off. So,
well, I think they're just waiting to bring it back in a less obvious guise. And let's face it, you know, I don't see any indication that they're willing to up the rate of volume that you can do on your connection, so these faster speeds may just help you get to that limit quicker.
True. ISPs are probably as far as the companies that you and I and a lot of people deal with, are probably like the third tier of evil below the wireless phone companies who gouge us the worst.
Right.
And then the cable companies for television cable, who I think gouge us the second worst, and then ISPs are in there, above like plumbers showing you their crack as they save you from a flood.
A flood of feces?
Could be a flood of anything, but usually feces is what you're most worried about. Explain to me why this... What this is exactly, because it makes me furious in a sense without even understanding it. I fear and hate that which I do not understand.
I found this on Consumerist a couple of days ago, and I think they got it from Cable and Multichannel News. And basically it's a wholesale price list of what the cable companies and this might include – I shouldn't just say cable companies because this could just as easily include DirecTV, Dish, Verizon, Fios, but it's basically what the carriers pay wholesale for various cable channels.
And this is a cost that comes to us.
Right. I mean, well, this is a wholesale cost, so it doesn't include, you know, this is basically what the channels get from the carriers, but it doesn't include profit and overhead and all kinds of other stuff. So this is not the price we're paying. This is probably best argued to be the pre-markup price that we're, you know, the price we're paying pre-markup from whoever is bringing us the channel.
Gotcha. So what it boils down to is the two channels that I personally despise and would not watch the most are costing the most money. Therefore, if I had cable, which I do not, even though I am a law-abiding citizen of the United States of America, if I was paying for cable like you are, you're paying $4 on average per month for ESPN, even if you never watch it. And that compares to, say, 5 cents for MTV2, which I would arguably say I have a better chance of watching than ESPN.
Well, MTV2 is the one that's actually got music on it still, right? So, yeah, you're probably right.
I didn't think any of them had music, so I don't know.
Well, we should put this up. We should put this link up. But for those that are listening to this without benefit of looking at it, the top two channels are ESPN and Fox, and they're $4 and change and $2 and change respectively. The next closest channel is TNT at 99 cents.
And that
everything else is a fraction of a dollar, And some of them are just laughable. Like Comedy Central's on here. I think it's 14 cents. Yeah, here it is. 14 cents for Comedy Central. And I agree with you. I think I watch ESPN like four times a year. And Fox Sportsnet, I don't think I've ever watched. So I'm paying, you know, almost $7 before the markup out of my 40, let's say, that it costs for two channels that I have absolutely no interest in. So this is enough to, you know, make you realize you're paying quite a bit of money for channels you never watch. But the flip side is that the economics of cable are such that if you didn't have this package thing going on and you actually had to pay for these channels a la carte, you'd pay a hell of a lot more for them because the Fox and ESPNs of the world are subsidizing all of these little, you know, like Nick Jr. or BET or the Style Network.
So I don't understand. You're saying that if I had cable and I wanted to only get channels that cost 5 cents with those guys, I'm not going to necessarily save anything because ESPN is somehow, by being so expensive, is covering the cost of the other smaller channels?
Yeah, basically this whole a la carte, I mean, the FCC's looked at this, and this whole argument started, if I'm not mistaken, because the religious people didn't want channels coming. They didn't want to pay for channels that, you know, thought didn't reflect their values and so on and so forth. So their argument was, let us decide which channels we want and we'll pay for those. And that's that. But if you do that, then all of a sudden these more niche channels, or I would even argue the better quality channels, become non-viable economically. Because if the number of people that watch them, you know, had to support the channel, they would never be able to be profitable. I mean, there's ads and stuff like that too. But the argument is that only by bundling these channels are the less popular ones viable enough to exist. And I can understand that.
I don't know. It seems to me like the magazine model, though, is at hand here, where the distribution is not as important as the advertising for a channel to be viable. Now, of course, the distribution comes into it because the price of advertising is going to be based on how many people see a particular channel. But that still doesn't explain to me why ESPN is worth so much, because I know they're a big channel, but they're not watched more than the major networks or other cable channels. Are they?
They may be. ESPN in particular? Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
I weep for, you know, America.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. I mean, I'm not into sports to the level that I'm glued to ESPN the way 80% of the people of my gender seem to be. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if, I mean, probably not on a consistent basis. I don't think more people watch SportsCenter, you know, than watch a typical weeknight drama, let's say. But I'll bet you that, you know, for a college football game or basketball or, you know, Monday Night Football is on ESPN now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they probably pull in a lot of viewers, and that justifies $4 a month compared to, you know, compared to 14.
And this list 14 is cents a month. This list is cable channels. It's not. It doesn't include any of the major networks. I mean, because you can't really quantify that because it's different in every market.
Right. Then you got affiliates that are, and then that's that whole thing that happened in New York last weekend where Cablevision and WABC had this disagreement, mm-hmm. and it got yanked, you know, just before the Oscars, and I think it came back by the time they were on. But
they lost,
yeah, so this is going to happen
the first
more.
20 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Yeah.
Crazy. Well, like I said, America, you kind of suck, and everything that is wrong with the pricing is really our own fault. And I can bitch and moan all I want, but what we need is a sea change in the attitudes of people, so that they'll watch far more MTV2 than ESPN.
And right. and the cheapest channel is Nick2, and that's TOO. It is 1 cent.
And that is my favorite channel. Say it again.
Skyacking.
You say it with such disdain. It sounds like a fun afternoon in Florida. This is literally people jumping out of a plane in a kayak and a parachute on.
Right. I don't think it's actually a kayak. I think it's just kayak like, because aerodynamically, I don't think a kayak would be too good. But what kind of blows my mind is I'm constantly amazed at how many new ways people think of to recklessly risk their lives. And I can't imagine having the type of personality that needs to do these types of things in order to feel alive. I'm glad I can't, because I think it's kind of pathetic. But skyacking, base jumping, like 6 months ago, there was those, they make these suits and they basically have like wings built into them, like the flying squirrel. So you basically jump off and you can glide for several miles, and it's dangerous as hell. I mean, I don't understand it. Somebody that does this would be like, that's the point. You don't understand it. But there's something, what does that say, you know, about you? If the only way that you can feel alive is to put your life at risk doing these utterly, I mean, what's the benefit of these pursuits other than an adrenaline rush? Well, they serve no purpose. They're not productive. They accomplish nothing except to basically increase the odds that you're going to splat on the ground.
It all comes down to everybody, you know, having their own way of getting an adrenaline rush. Like me, I get my biggest adrenaline rush like watching a really good piece of drama or a comedy or something on movies or TV. Like when I could come up out of a chair and just be yelling at the screen, and like, you know, that's what gets me going, and I'm happy with that. Whereas other people, they're going to be looking at the screen and be like, why are you talking to the screen? You're crazy.
Yeah, but that's the point. The point is, you don't need to put your life at risk to get an adrenaline rush. By the logic of skyacking and base jumping and all these other idiotic things, you could get your adrenaline rush by sneaking up behind a cop and grabbing his gun.
Yes, that's true.
That would make about as much sense.
No, but one is illegal and the other one is not. You know, well, one you're guaranteed.
Okay, then take the cop out of the equation. Any armed man who's legally carrying a firearm. I mean, the point is, you're doing something that is highly inadvisable.
No, but the thing is, you're saying that as if so many people die a day skyacking. It's like, has anybody ever died skyacking? We don't know. So it's probably
not, because it's only been going on for a little while.
Well, but even just in general, parachuting out of a plane, it's not very dangerous, or else nobody would be, you know, there'd be laws against it or.
Right. But see, I didn't say skydiving.
I know.
I'm, you know, that's kind of like in the same family of activities, but I'm not even thinking of skydiving, because there you've got, you know, parachute, you've got redundant parachutes. I still wouldn't do that if you paid
have
me
that to. With, don't you have that with skyacking?
No. Well, skyacking, yes, I guess you do. But
you know,
like, right. But, for example, this flying suit.
Yes. You got nothing.
Yeah.
But you have nothing when you hang glide.
Right? Well, you have a hang glider, right?
Yeah, but the suit is your hang glider in this case, isn't it?
I thought hang gliding was when you actually have like an apparatus that you're hanging on to.
Yeah, you do. It's like a big winged structure, and you're underneath it, you know,
right,
kind of tied into it. So how is isn't that the same as the winged suit idea? I mean, the winged suit is essentially you getting to be Batman. You know, the only way it could be better is if you do it off of a building rather than a cliff out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, well, I don't think you can do it off of a building, because you don't get – you need like way open space to build up enough momentum.
It'd have to be a very tall building with a lot of short buildings around it.
Yeah.
But then what you want to do is you find the right window with the right criminals inside. You go in and you spin and you come up and you punch them and there's the adrenaline rush. Just
I bet.
See, that's what the adrenaline rush, like that movie coming out in April, Kick Ass, is about like a kid who wants to be a superhero just and he just goes out and beats up bad guys just because of the adrenaline rush.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's part of it, not the whole thing. But yeah, it's you're right. It's all about adrenaline. And there's some people, be happy that these people do this, because these people could just be shooting up. They could be going out and, you know, there's people who are serial killers who have to do this kind of thing. These people, people who are base jumping, bungee jumping, motorcycle, motocrossing, whatever, all that stuff that you and I don't like because we are afraid of pain, you know, good for them.
Oh,
as long as they're not hurting
us. I don't think it's pain. See, if you die doing any of these things, you do not feel pain.
That's true, but I'm far more scared of living and being in pain. The dying, you know.
But you know what? You know what? That your observation from a second ago is actually a good metaphor. Really? There's no difference between these activities and shooting up a drug, other than in this case, the activity is causing you to produce the drug, as opposed to ingesting something externally.
Exactly. And you're not hurting – and the other key thing is you're not hurting anybody else.
True, but you're still an addict.
You're still an addict, but you know what? Fine.
And you know what? I would suggest that you are hurting someone else because if you need to have you know, people rescue you or if you're, you know, putting your family – at risk by risking your life, and you know, so it's a very kind of juvenile, kind of amateurish thing to do.
Yeah, to the extent that people worry about you, but you know, people are going to worry about you anyway. But if you're, you know, a heroin addict, you know, people are going to worry about you. Plus, you're affecting 1,000 other people in the chain of events that goes into the production of illegal drugs and heroin and that kind of thing. So, I mean, that has to be factored in. Whereas, you know, for hang gliding or whatever, I mean, what's the worst thing in the world? Somebody's, like, got to sew together a big kite for you to hang on to. I mean, that's not exactly, like, the same as some, you know, four-year-old gathering poppies in Afghanistan and hoping that he's going to have a meal tonight.
Hmm.
So I'm just Mr. Big Picture today. See? Isn't that great? And here's the other thing I want you to be aware of. I think it might be better for someone like me if I was addicted to something that actually involved adrenaline and getting up. Because what I'm addicted to, like I said, stories, that means I can sit down with a bag of chips and get my adrenaline rush. And that's how I keep my girlish figure, obviously. And by girlish, I mean Star Jones.
In New York City, they're talking about putting a tax on sugared drinks.
Sugared? Wait, any sugared drinks?
Soda, I believe. Well, that's kind of the point. It's supposed to be a way to fight obesity and to raise revenue.
Well, that's what it's really all about. I mean, yeah, fighting obesity is like a nice sideline, you know, when you can raise revenue. Because they're also going to start putting a deposit in New York State on any bottled drink. Like, it used to be only carbonated drinks, soda and beer. Now it's going to be bottled water and Snapples and everything else eventually.
Yeah.
Which is going to just raise tons of money for the state, which they need because they're.
Well, you know, that's. I don't even have a problem with that. I mean, that at least has a purpose other than revenue generation. You could argue that that's to motivate recycling and, you know, cut down on waste. So I'm okay with that. But. And I'm speaking as someone who doesn't drink sugar soda. I only drink diet soda, which would presumably not be taxed. And I don't live in New York City, so I'm not going to get taxed regardless.
Wait. You're saying Diet Coke would not be taxed like a regular Coke?
Right. The point of it is sugar. So the point of it is to tax the beverages that are believed to be drunk in excess that have sugar that cause people to be fat.
All right.
That's the rationale behind it.
Number one, what about the poor aspartame farmers? Don't they deserve a kickback too? And I have no idea what the fuck aspartame really is. So for all I know, it's a chemical that's just made in a lab. That's number one.
It is. It's synthetic.
Number two, nobody makes anything with sugar anymore. It's all high fructose corn syrup.
Well, but that's sugar for purposes of this discussion.
But that's a bull. You know, if it's a sugar tax and it's, I mean, is any of it meant to go to actual like farmers? I mean, because seriously, sugar is farmed and it's a
No. It's not for. It's not for that. It's not a subsidy. It's not like a farmer subsidy or, you know, something to get farmers to produce something. It's to dissuade you from purchasing and consuming soft drinks. I don't get, and you know, and like I said, this isn't going to hurt me, but I still think it's idiotic. And I'm not one of these people that thinks that, you know, there should never be any rules. Like, I happen to be in favor of, like, restaurants providing nutritional information for the food they sell.
And not having a smoking section. That's also good.
Well, yeah, that's a different issue. But just in terms of, like, letting people know what they're, you know, the argument is always, well, people are smart. You know, they're not, you know. And when they are, they're lazy.
Yeah.
So give them the information and let them decide. Don't, like, bury it on a website or make it so opaque that they can't figure out what they're eating. But anyway, but the point is, it's like if you're gonna tax sugar soda, that's just one thing that of amongst many that contribute to obesity. And then what about orange juice? That's you know, substantially sugar. Now you could argue that it's healthier than soda, and it probably is, but if you just look at it in terms of sugar content or caloric content, there's not that much difference between a glass of orange juice and a glass of soda, yet one's taxed and one's not. So it just seems – and not only that, you're either gonna dissuade people from buying this stuff, in which case you're going to get the health benefit but you're not going to collect the money, or you're going to collect the money because people are going to be like, I'll buy it anyway and pay more, and they're still going to be fat as houses. So yes. I just don't understand the – I think that something like this would never have seen the light of day, you know, but for the fact that now we're in such deep shit with the economy that these cities and counties and states are so hurting for money that they're willing to try just about anything. And this is kind of like the health benefit is a way to rationalize it.
Yeah. I don't really have a joke to end this on because I think the whole thing is very sad and yet almost genius, you know, because I'll still pay extra. I won't even notice the tax, you know, because I literally buy my soda in the most convenient bottles just for me to drink out of that are probably more expensive, you know, because I'm got more money than sense. That's what it boils down to, you know.
You buy like 20-ounce bottles at the local 7-Eleven one at a time or something?
This is what I buy. I buy like 6-packs of 20 – well, yeah, I do buy 6-packs of 24-ounce bottles. But if I'm driving somewhere and I'm feeling sleepy, I
– that's not a 24-ounce bottle.
This is a 24-ounce bottle I'm holding up. Take a picture of it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, they don't have those down here.
You can't get a 6-pack of these?
No, they've got 20-ounce bottles and they've got 16-ounce bottles that they just came out with, but they don't have 24s.
Huh. Yeah, no.
It's interesting because the margin, you know, the margin on different sizes is quite different.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would buy, you know, I would always buy a 6-pack of resealable bottles, whereas I remember I used to be only a 2-liter bottle kind of guy because I drink soda fast enough that it was not like 2-liter bottles, you know, were going to go flat on me. And I remember going to the grocery store with our mutual friend Lauren once, picking up a 2-liter bottle, and she practically yelled at me, like, why would you get those? We always get cans. And I'm like, cans? Like,
why?
Cans? Why would you get cans? You're like, because the 2-liter bottles go flat. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I drink 2 liters a day. It's like, it's going flat.
That's funny, because if you wanted to buy soda in the most economical and environmental way possible, you'd buy the 2-liter bottle because it's the most soda for the least money and it's the least amount of packaging material.
That's right.
If you buy it in any kind of small denomination, it's going to cost you more, and it's going to create more waste.
Yes.
So 2 liter bottles is really the best, you know, way to buy the that stuff.
And I used to buy 2 liter bottles only if they were 99 cents.
They're not even close to that anymore. Now when they're on sale, they're like $1.29, and they're normally $1.59, $1.69.
But a $1.29 is good, because when you consider that if I do stop at like an AM PM mini mart and I'm out driving and I need to get me a Pepsi Max Zero, you know, just
that's the same price.
This actually I think was $2.50.
$2.50? Did you buy it at a movie theater?
Well, at a grocery, you know, at a AM PM mini mart recently.
Oh.
Yeah, because they know they can get away with it, you know. It might have been like a truck stop or, you know, one of those places I like to stop when I'm out driving.
Stop and take a quick shower.
That just made my spine all icky feeling. All right, so yeah, sugar tax, New York. I could see it. I could see it going nationwide. I could see it becoming part of Obama's health plan.
Not nationwide. God, I can hear the shrieks in the distance from here.
But they better.
Florida doesn't even make you wear a helmet if you have a motorcycle. So there's no way in hell they're going to put tax on sugar.
So I've been looking at apartments because I need to move out of my little tiny one bedroom and go find something slightly bigger or much bigger if it's not too expensive. And I've kind of like realize that there's actually some houses in the area that if I were to purchase and put some of my savings toward them, you know, I would probably have a much lower payment during the during month to month, you know, with a mortgage and taxes even. It would be lower than the rent I'm paying, which is logical and obvious to me. I knew this. I mean, I'm paying more right now rent-wise than I ever paid when I did have my old house and my mortgage, you know, because I had money to put toward the house, so I didn't have a huge mortgage. If I got a cheaper house now, I'd have an even smaller mortgage. You know, the taxes might be higher because Tompkins County is ridiculously high tax, but it's a possibility, you know.
Well, you need to factor that in. I mean, the taxes, you still got to pay them, even though they're a deduction. I mean, that's all part of the cash flow.
It is. But, you know, if I, you know, have the savings that I have, put that, you know, some of that toward a house that doesn't cost too much, because I didn't really think that it was possible to buy a house within the downtown Ithaca area at a price that I would feel would be comfortable. But, I got forwarded one today that was like priced at $159.
So let me get this straight. You're saying that you could buy a house within city limits, within Ithaca city limits, that's larger space than where you currently are now, and pay the same or less than your rent, including the principal, interest, tax, and insurance?
Yes, because I have enough savings.
If you defray some of the
– Yeah, right, I would pay off like half of the mortgage.
Right.
Well, not half the mortgage. I would pay off half the price of the house, and then my mortgage would be half of the – yeah. I wouldn't – like if I bought a house for $160,000, let's say, I'd get a mortgage of probably, you know, 70 or 60 or 70, you know, depending on how much I wanted to really put down.
Well, why the hell are you sitting here talking to me? Get the fuck out there.
Actually, I just got a voicemail, and I think it's from a realtor who I called this morning. I don't know. But see, part of me is just buying scares me again because, you know, this would be like the fourth house that I bought in my life, which is crazy talk. And if my job goes under, you know, and I work in an industry where, you know, you just never know. I mean, I think we're doing great, but, you know, I've thought that before, so what do I know?
I think we all work in that industry these days.
Yeah, so, I mean, and not even that, if something else came along that was great somewhere else, I don't know. But you know what? The big question is, do you think purchasing a house is any worse than getting into a lease where you're stuck there for a year? Because let's say I had to leave in 6 months and I had a 1 year lease, I'd have to break the lease. I'd have to find some way out of it or pay money to get out of it. So is that any better or worse than like having to up and leave and sell a house? Not really.
Well, it is. Well, no, having the house is worse because just in terms of even though if you broke a lease before a year, you'd have to pay money.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, compared to a lease is never going to tie you up for more than a year. And it could conceivably take you more than a year to sell your house.
It could. But it could also mean, like, this house that I wanted to look at, for all I know, it's off the market already. I mean, maybe it went in a day. I've seen that happen. Probably not in this climate, but it has happened in the past. But there's also nothing saying that I couldn't sell it at a profit and, you know, make money like I have on the last two houses I sold.
Probably. But the thing with real estate is like selling it at a profit or sell. I mean, you can always sell it.
Yeah.
And you may almost always be able to sell it at a profit. Whether you're going to be able to do that in a week or a month or a year or, you know, 25 months is the issue. So it's more of an encumbrance. Yeah. You know, a lease will never tie you up for more than a year. And even if you have to pay money to get out of the lease, it'll generally be less than the alternative, which would be, you know, sell your house cheaply to sell it quickly.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I'm not saying you shouldn't consider it. I'm just saying, like, just in pure economic terms, you know, you're definitely boxing yourself in more with a purchase than with a lease.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you know, the prices are as low as they've been in recent memory. The rates are as low as they've been in recent memory. So, you know, as long as you could put a good chunk down and have a good chunk left over as an emergency fund in case, you know, something happens so you wouldn't, you know, have to go into a panic, then I would say makes perfect sense to me.
Well, if it makes sense to you, then it's probably all wrong. I guess we're done with another fine, fun-filled, action-packed episode of Facts Are Meaningless. Next week, Joe and I go undercover.
I would like to make an announcement.
Uh-oh.
Well, this is based on some requests from our listeners.
Wait, we have listeners?
Yes. If you'd like a transcript of today's podcast, rewind it, play it again, and then copy down every word we say.
All right, let's call it a night. Anybody who wants to get in touch with me and or Joseph, please leave a comment at factsaremeaningless.com, or don't. You can email us. If you can find our phone numbers on the internet, they're out there, I'm sure. You could call us. But most importantly now, we are available on an actual page within the iTunes store where people can go and subscribe to podcasts. You should go there. If you have an iPod or an iPhone, you should subscribe to us, and you should rate us very highly and tell people how much we don't suck.
Yes. And notice the word explicit.
Yes. And remember that we say naughty words occasionally. Mostly me. Joe's practicing for fatherhood and is trying not to swear as much, I think. Stupid fucker.
That's a fucking lie.
Oh, there's my boy. Nicely done.
You fucker.
I'm going to play this back for your daughter someday and we're going to laugh and laugh.
Can we have the bouncing ball?